Well, invariably when I give my talks, I like to tell a joke. But again, I'm not going to do this because with everybody muted, I can't get those moans and groans that I really need, and appreciate to encourage me to continue that stuff. But also when I give my talks, invariably, I issue at least somewhat of a challenge for you to grow, to stretch, to take some risks, and to allow yourself to be vulnerable. So today I thought I would practice what I preach, and I'm going to step out here a little bit and take a chance. So I will forewarn you, you may want to have your hand on the volume button because I'm going to sing in honor of this occasion. M is for the mansion you always wanted. O is for the opal ring you crave. T is for that Tesla that you covet. H is for the hat that would make you rave. E is for the emerald brooch you desire. R is for the rug on which you'd tread. Put them all together, they spell bankrupt. So I'm giving you this handkerchief instead. Now, before you get all excited and start texting me or emailing me, I promise not to make a habit of this, okay? I just wanted to start off this Mother's Day service in a non-conventional way, not the same tired old stuff. So that was my attempt. That being said, on behalf of our staff, our board of trustees, and me, I do want to extend a very happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you, particularly, but not exclusively, to the moms today. I do include this wish as well to all women and even to all of the men who are listening. This in no way dilutes the specialness of being a mom. On the contrary, my intent today is to glamorize it. I want to share with you a written text, something that I came across, and I did just edit a word or two to make it fit in for today. And treat it, if you will, as a riddle. As I go through the text, try to see to determine who in your mind this might be about. And for our purposes today, I'm going to temporarily rename this text, and I'm going to simply call it What It Means. And it goes like this. It means to make yourself small so that others might feel large. It means to make yourself a servant so that others may feel their mastery. It means to give to those who lack that they might receive. It means to love so that those that feel unloved may have someone who never rejects them, someone with whom they can always identify themselves. It means to stay at peace, so that those who are contentious will have someone to whom they can turn to stabilize themselves. It means to keep a cheerful outlook, so that those who are easily downcast may have someone to lift them up. It means not merely to live a life of prayer, but to turn your prayers into life. More life for you, more life for those whom you take care of. It means to share in the great moments of their lives, in birth, in sickness, and in all of those times, whether in crisis or celebration, to bring forth comfort, and a blessing. And above all, a sense of presence that sometimes we cannot see, and a meaning that we often overlook. I don't know what picture, what role you might have pictured as I was going through this litany. It sounds like an ideal set of characteristics for motherhood, doesn't it? Well, these words that I just shared with you were written by James Dillett Freeman. And when he wrote them, he wasn't talking about mothers or motherhood. He wrote these words in response to the question, what does it mean to be a minister? I've taken us down this path this morning to make a point. Motherhood is a ministry. And the ordination process, the ordination ceremony, also known as labor, is no picnic. More than that, motherhood is a sacred ministry. And even more than that, it's a ministry to which all of us are called. If we are serious about growing our spirituality, all of us need to be more in sync with that divine feminine that each and every one of us shares. And if anyone, male or female, thinks that he or she can realize a heightened awareness, a greater spiritual experience, without working on those loving aspects typically associated with motherhood, good luck. Think about it. Can we really grow without being kinder? Can we truly become more aware without being gentler? Can we experience the fullness of the Christ light that we all share without being more nurturing, without being more loving? Are things like being sensitive, understanding, comforting, giving, and healing exclusive to women? No, of course not. Doesn't it seem obvious that all of these heartfelt characteristics are energies that should be demonstrated by everyone? Of course it is. These are things we all are called to birth. These are ways in which we are all called to minister to one another. I confess that over the years, I have told my share of sexist jokes. And frankly, sometimes I would really enjoy getting a rise out of people by evoking some stereotypical saying like, ah, that's women's work. Or something like, men don't do that. Men hunt buffalo. And I like to use that one, especially when I'm asked to do something, because let's face it, there aren't too many buffaloes roaming around these days, and it means I get to sit around and do nothing until a buffalo shows up. But really, it's all nonsense. I have to laugh when I hear the question, which is the stronger sex? I have been blessed to witness the physical birth of both of my daughters and two of my grandchildren. Talk about labor. And the work only gets harder from there. It is true enough that generally men are taller, and biologically, men tend to build greater muscle mass. But beyond that, it's not much of a contest. I think women win hands down. It takes a lot of strength to be compassionate and loving all of the time. It takes a lot of energy to be nurturing and healing. It takes a powerful, loving heart to dare to be vulnerable. Tears are not a sign of weakness. They are a manifestation of the divine feminine, whether they are shed from joy or they are shed from pain. our way shower Jesus, openly wept on at least two separate occasions during his ministry. But the real message that I want to send today is that all of these strengths that we properly celebrate today are deeply embedded in each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, by virtue of the gift of life that we all share, has been impregnated with unlimited possibilities. Each and every one of us is capable of birthing a new reality. Biologically, a new birth only takes place when there is a coming together, a shared union between male and female. Nobody can sire long distance, and no woman can become with child while alone. Spiritually, new birth only becomes real when there is a coming together between the divine feminine and the sacred masculine. Historically, there's been an age-old recognition of what we celebrate today. Mother's Day has been an official holiday in the United States since 1914. Ironically, it was unofficially launched in 1908 by a woman whose name was Anna Jarvis, who later tried to get rid of it when she saw how commercial it had become. But going all the way back, the ancient Greeks recognized the sacredness of motherhood and gave tribute to Rhea, the goddess of motherhood. The Romans did the same thing with the goddess of Cybele. And way back in the 1500s in the United Kingdom, there began a Christian festival of Mothering Sunday that is still celebrated today. Of course, it's right and proper for us to set aside a time to recognize the ministry, the sanctity of motherhood. Whatever we may ritualize today, whether it be a Hallmark card, a phone call, delivering a dinner to mom while we are all in isolation, it should go beyond the recognition of what is and was in our mothers and grandmothers. In some way, it should serve to remind all of us of the inner beauty of motherhood that we are all capable of bringing forth. And I know, I understand it. Every mom is imperfect. In fact, every mom falls short. And some of us have had difficult childhoods. Some of us have had painful experiences. But this only serves to demonstrate the point. We are, all of us are works in progress. All of us have things which we need to do to answer this special call to ministry. All of us could become more loving. All of us can become more sensitive. When I was a young boy, there were two occasions in my life in which I got seriously hurt. Our family used to live virtually across the street from Eckerd Park in the city. And the Kennedy Expressway was being built when I was a boy, and it was right across the street from this park. And so the first time I got hurt, I literally went to play where the Kennedy Expressway is now, because they were busy constructing it. And there were mounds of sand and cement everywhere. And I was running up and down those mounds and having the time of my life until I made a blind leap over the top of one of them. And I came down and a sharp stick went right into my leg. The other time I was playing in Eckerd Park and they were doing some reconstruction in the park, reconfiguring it, and there were wooden fences everywhere. And on my way home, instead of going around the fences, I decided to take a shortcut, hop the fence. And when I came down, I put my hand out to balance myself, to prevent myself from falling. and my hand landed on a shard of glass that severed a tendon in my hand. On both occasions, I went home terrified and crying. On both occasions, as it so happened, my mom was not home. On both occasions, my father attended to me. He washed the wounds with soap and water, no disinfectant, not even the curcum, and no trip to the hospital for stitches, which really probably would have been a good idea. In both times, he then applied a large Band-Aid and said, "Well, that's it," and he sent me off. When my mother came home on both occasions, she asked me about 100 times if I was all right, if I was in pain, and was I scared. And on both occasions, she said, "What can Mama do for you?" And both times, she cried, openly worried if I was going to be all right. I share this story not to show that my father was uncaring or unloving. I have childhood memories that affirm that my dad would have sacrificed his life to protect me and keep me from harm. I share this story with you because as I look back, it's easier to understand he did not know how to show his feelings, to show his love and concern. His world at the time limited him to washing the wound and dressing it. He had never learned to tune into my fears about the whole thing. And believe me, on both occasions, I was pretty scared out of my mind. This thing that we call motherhood, this thing that we call the divine feminine, is something that we all have, something we all share. Being a mom is a ministry to which we are all called. In her book, Healing Letters, Myrtle Fillmore responds to somebody who obviously had bestowed the title of the Mother of Unity on her. And in response, in her letter, Myrtle says, "I feel you are crowning me with an honor that belongs to the Holy Spirit, which is omnipresent, and which expresses the loving desires of the hearts of all those endeavoring to manifest the mother side of God." And she goes on to say, "You too are the mother of unity, because in your heart you have the same ideals, the same generous spirit, and the endless and tireless service, and the love that never fails. The mother of unity is the universal mother." Again, I truly do believe it is so right and proper to give thanks and praise to the mother side of God and to acknowledge the women in our lives that have manifested that reality, each in her own unique way. But if we truly want to express gratitude to our moms for their part in giving birth to our lives and nurturing us, the best way to express that gratitude is to emulate that activity. The best expression of gratitude for love is to be loving. The best appreciation for being taken care of is to take care of others. These are things that are not supposed to be compartmentalized on the basis of sex or any other demographic. These are not works that are supposed to be contracted out for others to attend to on our behalf. Everything that is wonderful about motherhood in its most sacred form is yours to claim, yours to own, and yours to live. What we are talking about today is the mother side of God and the mother side of your personal ministry. Sing out this new reality that is within you. Feed it. Nurture it. Look forward with great anticipation to the labor it will take to birth it. Let it be. Let it happen. Give it a name. Set it loose, and then nurture it every single day. It's why you are here. And so let's take this to prayer and to meditation.